Well, this morning I wanted to talk about the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. I started talking about this, the power of the tongue, and then we began to talk about how our words can affect our life, and we need to speak those things that be not as though they are. We have to take on God's nature or his way of doing things. And so I wanted to continue with that this morning. We're doing a little bit more of a teaching than a preaching today, so we're going to go through a bunch of scriptures because I believe it's important that we rightfully divide the word of truth. Amen? And so we're going to start in Luke chapter 8, verse 16 to 18 this morning. And I'm reading out of the New King James Bible this morning. It says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but he sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, or nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to the light." You know, there's a lot of people that are nervous about sharing their faith with people. I'd rather them hear it from my mouth than hear it at the judgment seat of Christ and say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you mention that you believed in Jesus? I might have listened." I don't want to hear. How many want to hear that? I don't want to hear that. And so we have to be willing to realize that nothing's going to be a secret forever. And we need to begin to talk about the goodness of God, what God has done in our lives, without worrying about what people think. Amen? We have to be able to say, "Hey, this is who I am. This is what God has done in my life." And then leave it to them. But we need to let our light shine. It says here in verse 18, "Therefore, take heed how you hear." Pay attention to how you hear. It's very, very important. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him." And so there's a couple things we need to look at here. It's very important that we learn to hear correctly. Many people have gone to a Bible school, have gone to seminary, have got degrees and all these acronyms after their name, but they have not rightfully divided the word of truth. And we need to make sure that God has hidden this from the wise and he has revealed it to babes. And we have to have humility of heart. We need to come like little children. And we have to receive the word as it is written. Is that okay? Now, so we need to test what we hear. Say, "I need to test." So let's look at what the word of God says this morning. We're going to go to Job chapter 12, verse 11. It says here in Job chapter 12, 11, "The ear tests the words it hears, just as the mouth distinguishes between foods." We have to, as we mature in Christ, we need to learn to test what is being spoken by people. Amen? You just can't believe everything you hear. And I think we're living in a day and an age where we have to fine-tune our ears even a little more, because somebody will get on YouTube and share a blog and begin to share their ideologies and their philosophy of life. And I've watched so many people go astray because it sounds good and it tickles their ears and it just seems like the right thing. But let me tell you, you need to learn to test. Your ear has to be trained. In Job chapter 34, verse 3, Job said, "The ear tests the words it hears, just as the mouth distinguishes between foods." We see that same passage again. Job was a man of wisdom, and he shared these words. You know, we need to be doers of the word. Jesus says, you know what? He said, be careful how you hear. If we go on in that passage of scripture, down to Luke chapter 8, verse 19 to 21. Jesus is sharing here with this parable about the revealed light that we're just talking about. Look what happens here. I'm going to start in verse 19. "Then his mother and brothers came to him, and they could not approach Jesus because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you.'" And I used to read this passage, and the statement that Jesus is about to make, I thought, Jesus was being really rude to his mother. How many know what I'm talking about, right? But he wasn't being rude. He was actually in the middle of explaining to people, you have to be careful how you hear. You have to be doers of the word of God. And he's sharing, and all of a sudden he can hear people coming up, and someone's tugging on his on his robe and say, hey, Jesus, your mothers and brothers are here. And he thinks, oh, this is a great teaching opportunity. So he switches the parable, and then he says this. He says, he answers, and he says to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So Jesus was not saying, ah, forget my family. You're my family now. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, whoever does what I say is my family. I'm being interrupted by my natural family right now, but don't get disrupted about them right now. This is about, you want to be part of my family. You have to hear the word of God, and you have to be a doer of the word of God. It's not enough just to say, I believe in Jesus. You must become a disciple. Amen? That is the difference between training and development. A lot of times in our Christian lives, we get lots of training. This is how I believe God. This is, you know, how I operate in the church. This is how, you know, I be a good parent. But we don't develop. Development is learning the relational aspect of being in a family, working together with people. Amen? And so Jesus is saying, listen, if you're going to be part of my family, you have to be doers of the word. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, he says, only those who do the will of my Father in heaven will enter in. Let's see what it says here. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. People that just live their life have no heart to say, listen, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be a disciple. I want to do things your way. They just go out and teach the Bible with no development in mind. Jesus, I don't know you. But how come all these miracles happen? Because my word works. You declare my word and I'll work on it. And I believe, and the Bible says that there will be a people that stand before God on that day and are shocked. And I think it's important that we note that, right? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 25, that same chapter, look what he says here. He says, we'll move down to the next verse here. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds his house on a solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents, the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on the rock. When we obey Jesus Christ and the teachings of Christ, it's like we're solid. We can't be shaken. The storms of life cannot move us. But we have to be doers of the word of God. And so you say, Pastor, how does this tie into the tongue? Well, we're going to go there right now. Because we want to be doers of the word. So in James chapter 3, verse 1. Let's look what the scripture says here. My brethren, or actually we're going to start in James chapter 1, verse 26, sorry. James 1, 26. It says, if you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is useless or worthless. That's a strong statement. Like, I read the Bible sometimes, and see, this is the thing. You can't overlook the scriptures you don't like. Because they're the scriptures that are going to change you. Those are the scriptures that are going to conform us into the image of Christ. And it says here, if you claim to be religious, but you don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself. I don't want to fool myself. I want to learn to control my tongue because I want my religion to be profitable, okay? And that's a great warning. So now we're going to go to James chapter 3, verse 1. James chapter 3, verse 1. Okay. It starts in James chapter 3. We're basically going to just kind of go through the James chapter 3 and talk about it together. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you will receive a stricter judgment. Do you know I shudder when I read that? Because it's saying, listen, you better be a doer of the word. It puts a demand on you as a person to, listen, if you're going to teach people, you better get it right yourself. Amen? And there is a process of maturing that God wants to bring us to so that we can be teachers. God wants us to step up. But he's saying, be careful. Don't go after that until you go through the process, okay? Verse 2 of this chapter says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man." That word perfect means mature. "Able also to bridle the whole body." James is saying that if you can learn to bridle your tongue, you're mature in Christ. That's how important the tongue is. That if we can control that thing at all times, then that means we've matured in God. And this is going to be a challenge for all of us, but we can do it by the grace of God. Now let's move on here. "Indeed," verse 3, "we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." And then verse 4 says, "Look also at ships. Although they're large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." Now, James is pointing something out. A horse is a large animal for a man to control. But if you can control its mouth, you can control its direction. If you can control a ship, think about the size of a ship. You go on Google and type in ships and bring up the images, and the size of the ship can compare to that little rudder. Yet he's saying that even a large ship, not just a ship going on calm waters, but a large ship in the midst of the seas going crazy, the storms and the waves, a small rudder can direct a large ship through a storm. And the same way our tongue, even through the storms of life, it doesn't matter if all of hell is breaking loose against you, your tongue can actually redirect you and keep you on course for the call and destiny that God has. Even in the midst of the storm, a small thing like the tongue will keep you in the right direction. Amen? But what happens is the storms of life hit, and many of us go, "Oh, you know what? I'm not going to make it. It's just, maybe it's not God's will." And we begin to talk about other people because we feel bad about ourselves. And our tongue began, and all of a sudden our ship is just drifting all over the ocean, and we're supposed to be over here in Taiwan, but now we're over here in Australia because we didn't control the ship of our life with our tongue. Amen. And so God has called us to use our tongue to control and move things that seem large, but our small tongue can do it. Bible says that wherever the pilot desires, he can move that ship. Wherever you desire to move your life in Christ, you can move it with your tongue. You can speak it into existence. You can direct your life by saying the right things. Isn't that good news this morning? Thomas Edison, I like to look at people who did great things. And, Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. And he knew how to speak. He knew how to think. That's why he was a great man. Look what he said. Here's some of his quotes. He says, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." He said, "Negative results are just what I want. They're just as valuable to me as positive results. I can never find the thing that does the job best until I find the ones that don't." This was a man who understood that I'm not going to give up. I have a destiny, and I'm going to speak the right thing. This is what he said to people when they said, "You're a failure. Thomas, you're never going to make this thing go and this little flint make light. That's foolish. How are you going to?" And he said, "Listen, you tried it 10,000 times. It's not going to work." And he'd turn and say, "Hey, listen, I've only found 10,000 ways that it doesn't. I'm going back to my workshop." And he spoke what needed to be spoken so that his life would be directed in the destiny he had. He said, "When you have exhausted all your possibilities, remember this, you haven't." Here's a man who understood that, you know what, I'm moving forward. Verse 5 of chapter 3 of James says this, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." You know, the tongue is small. And if it's not under the control, your control, with the help of the grace of God, it can do a lot of damage. In Psalms chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "They say, We will lie in our hearts content. Our lips are our own. Who can stop us? A person without God can say that. My mouth is my own. I'll say what I want. Who can stop me? And they lift themselves up. Look what it says in Psalm 73, verse 8 and 9. Psalm 73, 8 and 9. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut through the earth. They boast great things. Our mouths have to be, allow the Holy Spirit. We've got to allow God to control our tongues. Amen? And verse 6, let's read James chapter 3, verse 6. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. A world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body and set on fire the course of our nature, and it's set on fire by hell. Now, I want you to look at this here. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27 says, an ungodly man. Did you know you can be a Christian and be ungodly? Did you know that? Because of the choices you make. Now, are you saved? Does God love you? You know, God loves you. That's not up for negotiation. God loves you. But you can be ungodly and be saved. The ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. The Bible says that with our words, we dig up evil. And so as a Christian, our sin nature wants to rise up and dig up evil on another person. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Can you believe they've been saved for 10 years and they still do that? And you begin to dig up evil in other people, and guess what? You reap what you sow, and then it comes back on you. Do you see that happens? So it's a digging up evil on other people, and it causes havoc. Okay? His lips are like a burning fire. So when I read James, and James is telling me that our lips are able to, our tongue is able to set fire, I want to know what that fire is. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures today, so write them down. Fire goes out without wood. Pretty simple understanding. And quarrels disappear when gossip stops. What is being said in Proverbs here is when you gossip and when you talk about people, it's the same thing as fire. You're setting fire. And you're causing division and disunity. Amen? And so God is saying here, very importantly, that we can't gossip. Gossip is idle talk. It's rumors, especially about the personal or private affairs of other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. I'm going to read that again. Gossip is idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others, typically involving the details that are not confirmed as being true. So why is all this important? So you say, Pastor, why are you spending so much time talking about this word gossip and talking about fire? You know, because we're good Christians, we won't do this. And I hope and pray that none of you do, and I believe you don't. But let's set the guard up, the guardrail, amen? Because Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says this, I tell you the truth, you must give an account for on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Every idle word that we speak, we're going to give an account. An idle word is a word that's not going anywhere. It has no purpose. It's just a word. Do you hear this? Did you hear that? There's no direction. There's no purpose. It's not creative, nor is it destructive. It's just a gossip. Isn't that a warning? And then going back to James chapter 3, verse 6. The tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Okay? And I want to say this, that if someone gossips in a church, it can defile the whole church. If someone gossips among a group of friends, it can destroy a friendship. I had friends that we were close. I remember my best friend, we were so close. We was like my brother. And then I listen to somebody else talk, well, Brian thinks this about you, or Brian said this about, and instead of me going confirming it with him, I look back now, I realize I let it divide, and I had hatred in my heart towards him because of what somebody else said about him and divided our friendship, and it wasn't even true. I found out years later, it was all a lie. Gossip will destroy a church, it will destroy a family, it will destroy friendships, it will destroy a company. It's evil. Say evil. Evil. And so we need to deal with it. And verse 6 says here, it says, it sets the whole body on fire, the whole course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. And so here's my question this morning. Who controls your tongue, heaven or hell? Because here's the thing. We want, the Bible says, how many know the Lord's Prayer? Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, everyone's talking positive. Everyone's lifting each other up. They're talking about the goodness of God. They're praising the Lord, and they're speaking life. You don't go to heaven to hear people gossiping and backbiting. And you know what I mean? So, Lord, let your will be done. So it's heaven controlling your tongue. Now, hell really represents destruction, judgment, shame. And just as heaven has an agenda, God's desire is not one would perish, but all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. He uses our mouth to speak the blessings of God and speak the life of God into people's lives so they might see the goodness of our God in heaven. In the same way, hell has an agenda. The demons and Satan, they want people to speak words that are going to bring shame and judgment and doubt and death so that people will never seek God or never really realize that he's a good, good father. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? So hell has an agenda. And we cannot allow it in our mouths. Amen? Verse 8 says, but no man, say no man, or woman, can tame the tongue. It is unruly, it's evil, it's full of deadly poison. No man can. But let's look at Isaiah 50, verse 4. We'll flip to Isaiah 54, and let's look what the Bible says. Isaiah 54. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Amen. Remember how we started this message? Be careful how you hear. Because God is speaking to us. We have to discern that. And then it says here, he has given us the tongue of the Lord. So, you know, we can't in ourselves, we can't get that out of us. But with God, by the Holy Spirit, we can have a mouth that speaks the blessings of God. Amen? Isn't that good news? Back to James chapter 3, verse 9 to 12, says here, with the mouth we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And so he's saying, listen, as Christians, a sign of your maturity is that your mouth is speaking blessing. It's speaking life. It's pointing out the Christ in people. And we have to recognize that. This is something, even as a pastor, I got to watch my words. Amen? Because they have power to redirect my life, to redirect my family's life, to even redirect this church by speaking the right things that are going to bring life. Amen? And it goes the same for all of us. Now, our speech comes from two different places. There's two different sources where our speech comes from. There's two different types of wisdom. The first one is earthly, and the second one is heavenly. How many know which one we want to get our wisdom from, right? Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his words are done, or his works are done, in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Now remember here how this verse opens up, this chapter. Don't let many of you desire to be teachers, because you're going to be judged. And now he's down in verse 14 saying, make sure that you get bitter envy and self-seeking out of your hearts. And growing up, and maybe you have seen this, I'm guilty of it in the past, but you know, you're sitting there, you're looking, saying, how, you know, I'd like to be on the worship team, or, you know, I have something to share with the church, or, you know, I need a place of a position of authority. And you think it, you'd never say it, but it's kind of like this aching inside to be seen or be heard. And he's saying, no, be careful. You don't want that, because it's self-seeking. It's about you. It's not about the kingdom. Is this all right this morning? In the second century, there was a monk. I think it was Saint Anthony. I think his name was, I'll have to double check. In the Greek Orthodox Church, and they had this thing where they would set themselves apart and they would live in the caves in the desert and they would seek the Lord. And so this one man wanted to be a holy man. So he came to the monk one day and he said, listen, I want to be a holy man like you are. Tell me what to do, I'll do it. He goes, okay, I'll give you two things to do. So the man says, what are they? He says, I want you to go down to the cemetery on the edge of town. I want you to go in and I want you to spend the whole day cursing, making fun of, and bad-mouthing the dead. Look at all the gravestones and begin to just give them all the negativity you can. Just let them have it. So he said, all right. So he went and he spent the whole day cursing the gravestones and, you know, just speaking death over the dead and all this stuff, right? So he goes back the next day. He said, okay, I did what you told me to do. What do you want me to do now? He said, I want you to go back tomorrow, and I want you to bless all the dead people. So he went back to the cemetery, and he's like, praising them and talking about all the good and just speaking blessing. Had no idea why I was doing it. So I went back to the monk. He said, I did what you wanted me to do. And so the monk said, how did the dead respond when you insulted them? And he said, well, they're dead. They didn't do anything. He said, what did they do when you praised them? And he said, they're dead. They didn't say nothing. And he said, well, listen. He said, they didn't respond to the praises of men. They didn't respond to the insults of men. You go and do likewise and you'll be a holy man. So when Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about his agenda. And this is the process that we're in to get to a place where it's not really about me anymore. It's about him. Isn't that good? And that's where I'm heading. That's my heart, is to get to a place where it's all about him. Because God can use broken vessels. Isn't that good? So the first wisdom is earthly wisdom, which is self-seeking, bitterness and envy. It's all about my position. And the second is heavenly wisdom. And let's read about that in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. How many want to operate out of that kind of wisdom? Amen? And so when we realize the power that is in this little member, the tongue, and we stop and really look and meditate and realize what God is saying, it can change our lives. It can change it. Can we just take a few minutes before we close and let's look at some scriptures concerning the promises that God gives us. The first one is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. It says this, Proverbs 12, 18. You got it, Josiah? Proverbs 12:18. There we are. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Do you know when we can speak words that will promote health? in people. Do you know what's funny? Like, even outside of people that are Christians, let's talk about people who have not really accepted the Lord, and doctors will tell you this, that the patients that are like, oh, it's okay, I'll beat this, there's no problem, I'll get over it, and they just have a positive attitude about life, they live longer and they do better. If people have a negative attitude like, oh, I'm going to die, and this, they die they, because you give up. The speaking of the mouth, the tongue of the wise promotes health. Proverbs 15:2 says this. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. All right, so we want to use our words properly. Proverbs 15:4, just a couple verses down, it says here, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but a perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And you know what? It's amazing, even as with our children. Maybe some of you came from a family where, you know, your spirits were broken because of some of the words your father or mother said. And, you know, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I know there's some in this place that that was the case. But I want to say this, that our Heavenly Father is a good Father. And as we're in His Word and as we allow Him to show us His love and speak over us His Word, it will lift us up again. Amen. 1 Peter 3:10 says, I guess that one's not in there. 1 Peter 3:10. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. There's actually a promise. You'll enjoy life and have many happy days. Oh, happy day. I was thinking about Happy Days, that old show. Dating myself here. Okay, next one. Proverbs 10:19, and then we'll... 10:19. Proverbs 10:19. We got it? Okay. Too much talk leads to sin, but be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Couldn't say it better myself. And I want to end with just one last scripture, and it's I didn't put it in the notes on. So it's Proverbs 26:20-22. Proverbs 26:20-22. It says this: when there is no word, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer or gossiper, strife will cease. As charcoal is to burning coal and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. And verse 22 is key here. The words of a talebearer or a gossiper or a slanderer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. And I want to say this. Well, okay, this is in the New Living Translation. This is different. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not submitting your mouth and your tongue and your thoughts to God, it's actually enjoyable to gossip. I've enjoyed it, I'm going to be honest. I've sit there, and you would never admit it, but you know, when you start talking about it, like, not even negative, just talking about people and that. It makes you feel better about yourself, doesn't it? Because you realize, you know what? And you begin to measure yourself by yourself and comparing yourselves. And it's something that takes place. Listen, there's a better way. It's like dainty morsels. Well, it tastes so good. Amen? But God has called us to speak life, to repent from this kind of an attitude and say, Lord, I want my words to direct. I want my words to speak life. I want my words to bring encouragement. Does that make sense, everybody? Amen. God is good. So we went right through James chapter 3. Amen. So, God, we just want to come before you as your people, Lord. And we want to examine our hearts right now. Lord, only you can do that. And I ask Michelle if you can come to the piano, actually. But Lord, I just ask, Father, right now that that you're speaking to us. We're just going to wait in your presence for a moment. Because you're calling us to search. You're calling us to search our hearts. Not because you're here and you want to judge us and say you're wrong. You're not like that. You're saying, I want my people closer. I want your heart to beat with my heart. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're just speaking to our hearts right now. Just beginning to speak to our hearts. If there's areas in our lives where we just need to say, just need to repent. We just have to come, bring ourselves before you and say, Lord, I've allowed my mouth to speak about people. I've allowed it to speak negatively. I've allowed it to speak death. And Lord, today I repent and I say, come and change me. Come and transform me. I want to operate of the spirit of wisdom, not the spirit of self-seeking. If this message has spoken to you, I just want you to stand with me and we're going to just pray right now that God would just come and just give us a fresh tongue this morning. Amen. And asking you to stand doesn't mean you're an evil person or you're a sinner. I'm not picking on it. I'm just saying God wants us to sharpen. He wants us to be aware of the power of our words. The power of our words. They can make and break someone. They can make and break our destiny. And God is challenging us to come up higher in our words. Amen? Amen. Well, if you're standing with me, let's pray this together. Say, Heavenly Father, I submit my words to you. I submit my mouth to you. And I want to operate all the time with words of life. I don't want any bitterness coming out of me. I just want the springs of life. So God, I just repent right now. If my mouth is spoken as a gossiper, as a slanderer, just forgive me and cleanse me today. And just move on me by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to put a challenge out there for you. And that's this. The Bible says if you sin against God, you need only to make things right with God. But if you know there's relationships that have been damaged because of gossip or because of words that were spoken, if the Holy Spirit leads you, don't go looking for it. You know, what people do is they start digging in their closet. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, you need to go and talk to that person again and just make things right or let them know, you know, that you love them and you're ready to start. Make things right with God. But if you've sinned against man, make things right with man. Amen? The freedom is incredible. I remember I was at a time in my life where I was just serving the Lord and I was going through this dry spell and I knew there was an issue I had with somebody and I said, God, forgive me for hurting that person. Forgive me for, you know, hurting that relationship. And I felt forgiven, but then God began to speak to me and said, you need to go and talk to that person. And so I went and found that person and I said, listen, you know, I'm really sorry for what I did and I damaged this relationship and will you forgive me? And that person said, yes, I forgive you. The person said, I was holding a grudge against you for years and they forgave me. And I remember driving home, I literally pulled over and I had my friend drive because I was drunk in the spirit. I was so, the presence of God came so strong in me, I couldn't drive. I just laughed. So I got it, said, I can't drive, you drive, because God's presence came so strong because there's nothing that pleases the Father more than when we restore and fix relationships that have been damaged. Amen? I've had the Holy Spirit talk to me, and I've had to go literally, and I've went to my pastor in the past. Hey, Pastor, listen, I've been talking about you negatively, and I'm going to go make things right. I'm sorry. I didn't understand. Will you forgive me? I've done stuff like that. And that's where the real freedom lies. Doesn't it? Isn't that awesome? So you're saying, God, I want to make things right with you, but I want to make things right with your kids too, because we're a family. Amen? So let that be your challenge. And again, only if the Spirit speaks to you. But have ears to hear in Him.